On the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Tonight we talk with one of America's leading experts on the subject of out-of-body experiences. His name is William Buhlman. Couple books, Adventures Beyond the Body, The Secret of the Soul. Back with William in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. His name is William Buhlman. He's one of America's leading experts on the subject of out-of-body experiences and an expert in numerous OBE and past life regression techniques from the shamanistic to the modern. William is a certified hypnotherapist and conducts workshops and lectures exploring the profound nature of out-of-body experiences and the benefits of accelerated personal development. Now, he's conducting the world's largest survey on the out-of-body experience. You might be able to help. And the 16,000 responses have yielded amazing conclusions. He's convinced that from this data that the majority of alien abduction scenarios are actually misinterpreted OBE experiences. He's appeared on numerous television and radio shows nationwide, currently writing a book and a screenplay concerning out-of-body exploration. In addition, William is the author, as I mentioned, of Adventures Beyond the Body and The Secret of the Soul. Currently, he is traveling throughout the world, conducting lectures and workshops on the subject. Our guest tonight on Coast to Coast. Hello, William. How are you?
Hello, George. How you doing?
Good. Pleasure to have you on the program tonight. Did you start off as a hypnotherapist, or did you get involved in the OBEs first?
Oh, I definitely got involved in the OBEs first. Way back in 1972, I had my first one, and that's what got me completely hooked on the topic.
I had one when I was 11 years old, William, and I've never been able to duplicate it ever again. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I've tried. It doesn't happen. Does that occur with some people?
Well, you're more open, in generally speaking, you're more open when you're younger. You haven't been conditioned to believe that you're a physical being or a physical body yet. But there are a lot of techniques that you can learn to actually self-induce the experience. But it takes a little bit of training, and generally 30 days most people can have an experience if they're willing to dedicate their time to it.
Is it almost like exercising?
Well, it's like meditation. It's like many people throughout the world meditate for 30 minutes, and OBE techniques are actually very similar. They're very easy to learn and very easy to do, and a lot of people do them just as they're about to go to bed or before they take a nap.
Now, this survey that you've conducted, 16,000 responses. Tell me what some of the methodology of the questions.
Well, what I did, in my first book, Adventures Beyond the Body, I put a survey in the book, and then when I started my website back in 96, I put some of the questions on the web, thinking, you know, I'll get a couple hundred responses. And some of the questions were revolving around the vibrational state. In other words, phenomena that people may experience as a prelude to an out-of-body experience. For instance, questions like, have you ever experienced heavy vibrations or humming, buzzing sounds? In other words, there were 13 questions that I initially asked because I wanted to keep it simple. And especially on the internet, I started to receive an incredible amount of responses from all over the world. And that's what the survey is based on. It's an open-ended response, so people could be as detailed as they choose to be.
And did you see a lot of similarities with the responses?
Oh, it was amazing, George. I mean, the similarities were overwhelming. It was much more than I anticipated. People all around the world are having the same type of experiences. They may look at it differently based on their religious beliefs, but the same type of things are occurring. For instance, sleep paralysis, where you just wake up and it scares the heck out of people.
Right.
You just can't move, but you know you're conscious, but you can't move your body. That's one of the indications of a out-of-body experience.
Did anybody in this survey, I'm just curious, ever talk about the old hag syndrome as it relates to sleep paralysis?
Oh, they sure did. Many people talk about it. It feels like somebody's sitting on your chest.
And some people even see this lady.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And it's been recorded all through written history for the last 2,000 years, all the way back to the Egyptian era, that people experience this entity of some kind. Some people actually report it as a dog or an animal. Some people record it as a woman. And that's where it comes from. There was many, especially during the Middle Ages, there was a lot of reports of a woman actually being on somebody's chest. And, of course, it scared the living heck out of people.
Oh, absolutely. Is that possible that they are actually seeing this kind of entity, or is there something physically wrong with them?
No, I don't think there's anything physically wrong with them. It's a matter of our interpretation of an experience that we're frightened by, I feel. I've had that experience myself, and so have other people that I know. I've had an experience where there was a dog sitting on my chest, or it felt like. Let me clarify this by saying it felt like a dog was actually on my chest, and, of course, it really wasn't. But my mind interpreted as that.
I mean, did you visualize a dog? I mean, how do you know that? How do you feel
At a glimpse, I just saw what I thought was a dog. I interpreted it as a dog.
Okay.
It was a restriction, let's say, of my ability to move upward during my experience.
Okay. Millions of people around this planet are experiencing what they call alien abductions. We've had people on this program before, William, who have been experts in this phenomenon. John Mack, who's no longer with us, was devoting his career to this. Bud Hopkins does. David Jacobs does.
Right.
Now, are you saying that alien abductions do not occur, or are you saying they're all misinterpreted as OBEs? What are they?
Well, I'm not saying I believe that there are such things as abductions. I'm very open-minded. I've spoken at several of the large UFO conferences about this topic in detail. And based on my experience, let me clarify. I've received hundreds of letters from people that were describing their abduction phenomena. And when you compare the notes, and a good example of this is John Mack's work, which I draw on in one of my books. John Mack goes into detail about the phenomena associated with an alien abduction. What I found remarkable is that the same type of phenomena also exists in OBEs. In other words, paralysis, heavy electrical sounds, floating sensations, moving through a wall, being moved to a new location, let's say, seeing a strange being by your bed or being moved to a strange environment. Having been touched or what people consider to be probed. All of these things occur during an OBE, or some element of that can occur during an OBE. And there was a direct comparison between the two, and even John Mack related that in his work, in his book, Abduction. But there is definite. 200 experiences were sent to me, and if you took out the word abduction, I could not tell the difference between the abduction phenomena and the OBE experience.
Well, if you believe in OBEs, and I know you do, and I do, but you have to then believe of the spirit world or this other dimension or whatever it might be, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's many dimensions, many, many. I refer to it as a multidimensional universe. Which, of course, that's what the biblical texts have written about, this whole concept of heaven and hell and purgatory. What are these but other dimensions?
Do you think if people can start to understand and grasp the fact that this dimension, these other worlds, somehow were created first in this universe, and that it's a natural part of existence. It's supposed to be. They'd have a better understanding of what this is all about.
Oh, absolutely. There is no doubt from my I've had out-of-body experiences now for 34 years, and there's no doubt in my mind that the other dimensions that exist existed before the physical. The physical is like the epidermis layer of the universe. It was probably the last incarnation of life in reality. There's many, many forms of reality. There's many dimensions of reality. And this world that we're so focused upon is one of just actually a very small segment of the universe itself. And this explains also a lot of the psychic phenomena, this whole idea of ghosts and poltergeists, mm-hmm. and all this, these things that people find mysterious. It all relates directly to the multidimensional universe. Nobody's dead. They're just vibrating at another, let's just say, a different frequency.
Well, and you know, and you said that there are other levels, other planes. How many are we talking about?
I don't know. To be quite honest, I don't know. I know there's a lot of people out there that are quick to say, oh, there's 7 and 5 and 11.
Yeah.
I speak from what I know about. I have experienced 4 that I felt were distinct vibrational levels of existence. And that's based on my experience.
All right. Well, regardless of the levels, whether there's 2, 4, or 10, or 15, what are the levels for? What's their reason for it?
I think different levels of consciousness exist in their own basically, different levels of consciousness or evolution exist within their own consensus reality. In other words, as we evolve, we move into more, let's just say, elegant states of consciousness or existence, less form-based. One thing that I've noticed is as you moved inward, because we're really in the outer edges of the universe.
Right.
As you move inward, an out-of-body experience is a misnomer. It should be called basically a in-the-body experience. You're going inward. An out-of-body experience is actually a transition going inward into your finer vibrational body. And in doing so, you're moving to a more, less dense reality. And within, past that dimension, there's another dimension that's even less dense or less matter-based. That's the best way to describe it. But all of these dimensions exist in and of themselves, independent of one another.
I went this weekend and I saw the movie Constantine, and I saw the different levels of what heaven could be and what hell could be in this movie. And I came away from that movie, William, saying to myself, I wonder if this is also what it's like with these various planes of existence and consciousness that you're talking about. Are there levels that start off maybe the lowest level, which one could call hell, and then they just tend to get a little better as you go up? And maybe there are planes of existence where these bad entities are hanging out, and you got to go through that somehow, and then the higher up you get, the more enlightened it gets. Has that happened?
Well, I think in a way it's very much a Buddhist viewpoint. I don't believe in heaven and hell per se. I believe that they're based on my experience, and I should strike the word believe. I know from my own experience that there are definite realities that exist, and they're consensus realities where like attracts like. And we will be, let's just say, we're drawn to those that are similar to us in evolution and vibrational rate. So this concept of, I do believe there is a progression, so to speak, and that the universe is expansive and elegant in its design. So I do believe that there's many, many dimensions of reality and that we can experience them. But what's exciting, George, is that people can, instead of making this into a theory, people with out-of-body exploration, people can do this for themselves and discover and explore for themselves and finally go beyond theory and speculation. That's what makes this whole topic so exciting.
If one is successful in getting an OBE, where can you go? And just, I guess, Bill, if you could for us, kind of explain to us what happens when you have one, where you go, what the whole process is?
Well, that's a big question because everyone's different. Remember, what you experience is based on your state of consciousness.
Okay.
But typically, people will experience, number one, they will enter into often, 85% of people, according to my research, will have a vibrational state experience. Prelude to the experience will be sleep paralysis, heavy, maybe vibrations, buzzing, humming sounds, and then they will begin to separate. It doesn't mean they float up. They may just roll out of their body.
Okay.
And then they will, most people will experience a physical-like duplicate of their body based on, because that is their mindset. That's, they have created the energy body for themselves with their own self conception. Most people will experience this, let's just say, people consider it an astral body. And in that body, they have the freedom to go wherever their mind chooses to go. There are no limitations except what people place upon themselves. And that's really true. But the average person, of course, is form-based, so they will, most people, stick around their own environment that they're familiar with.
Some people have reported bouncing against the ceiling of their bedroom, for example.
It's very common. Yeah. It actually can be quite funny, too. I've done that myself.
And then others seem to go through the ceiling, and they say, I got higher and higher, and the house was smaller. Can they actually go to the moon, go to Mars, go beyond our solar system?
Absolutely. If you're willing to accept your own ability to do so, you can. But it's up to you.
Are you kind of like outside looking in? Is it that kind of feeling? I mean, are these events that you, in an OBE, let's say you somehow get to the moon, are you looking at the moon in real time, or is it in another dimension or something like that?
Well, remember, the moon exists also in multiple dimensions, just like the Earth does. When you leave your body, you are not experiencing the physical moon. You're experiencing the energy duplicate of the moon.
Okay, all right.
And that's what confuses many people.
Yes, yes.
The same thing when you leave your body. People say, well, I don't know if it was real because my environment wasn't quite the same. Of course it's not the same because you're not experiencing Earth. You're not experiencing physical reality anymore. You have raised your vibrational rate, and now you're experiencing the let's just say, the energy substructure of matter.
Well, so if I wanted to do an OBE, let's say, and go see the lunar modules that were left on the moon, I couldn't do that, right?
Well, not necessarily, because they may also exist on the astral or the, let's just say, the substructure, the energy substructure. You may be able to witness that. I have never done that myself, but I don't see why you couldn't. Remember, everything is multidimensional. So those lunar modules also exist in an energy form that we can't see.
Sure.
So there's no reason you couldn't observe them, but you wouldn't be observing matter anymore.
But this is not then to be confused with remote viewing, which is using your mind to find out things either in the future or in real time, for example. It's not like I can remote view and go to some restaurant and see all the people there having dinner.
Remote viewing is directly related to OBEs, but it's not the same event.
But it's not the same, okay.
Back in the 70s, it was considered mind travel or mind projection. Of course, now they have a new term, technical remote viewing, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same thing that we talked about 30 years ago. People did it all the time. No, OBEs are much more stark. They're much more exciting. To me, they're much more exciting because you feel you are consciously present. You're no longer just the observer. You're the participant. And it makes a huge difference in your perception of reality.
Years ago, I read that in an OBE, the body is connected to the astral body via some kind of cord. Is that true? Do you see that cord when you're in an OBE?
I have seen it, and I've written about this on several occasions. I've seen the cord on animals, and I've felt it myself on me, and I've seen it on others. Now, you don't always see it because it depends on your vibrational state. I experienced it on myself as emanating, and I know there's some some people feel different about this, but I have experienced it on myself to be about an inch in diameter and emanating from my back,
and apparently
my higher back. And it was not just one strand, it was many.
And you could go out as far as you wanted to go, and it would never break, right?
I don't feel that that's possible to break now.
It just stretches.
And remember, this is just, I feel strongly from my experience that this is strictly a connection to your denser, what people consider to be their astral body. And I hate to use that term, but that's really how it's perceived.
When we come back, let's talk about some new information you've worked on and uncovered: combat childbirth surgery-induced OBEs. A lot of people have said that they were getting operated on, and they look down and they see what their doctor's doing to them, and then they tell their doctor some things that he said, for example, during the operation. The doctor's amazed. We'll be back in a moment.
Want a time travel? Go back to past shows on Streamlink. Sign up online at coasttocoastam.com. City of Angels, Premier Radio Network presents Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
How would you like to join the Filament Book Club? Great books there. They'll give you a free ebook, a free electronic book, when you become a member of the book club. You can call 1-888-95-EBOOK. That's 1-888-95-EBOOK, or go to the website at filamentbookclub.com. Let me spell it for you, F-I-L-A-M-E-N-T, bookclub.com. It's that simple. And when we come right back, it's our guest, William Buhlmann, on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with William Buhlmann. William, let's talk, if we can, about new information on combat childbirth and surgery-induced OBEs. This seems to be happening a lot lately, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's matter of fact, I'm getting more and more reports about this on a regular basis. One of the ones that it's especially come to my attention was the childbirth phenomena. Many women, including my own mother-in-law, reports that she floated above her body during childbirth. And, of course, back then, you know, nobody talked about this kind of stuff. And it isn't just in the last 5 years, really, that people come out and started discussing these topics openly. But this is very common. People, especially with an epidural or what's considered a saddle block, women experience sensations of actually observing their own child's birth from above. And I have received hundreds of letters from women who describe this in detail that's just remarkable. And often they even comment in the letter that, oh, I couldn't tell anybody about this because I sounded like everybody assumed I was high, but I could describe exactly what the doctors were doing, how it went down, and sometimes they were conscious, sometimes they weren't. I mean, as far as fully conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's remarkable. I mean, this kind of thing's happening on a regular basis, and it's about time people became more and more aware of it because it provides evidence of their own survival after death.
I think it was in England where they did a study of patients who had this induced OBEs, and they interviewed them afterwards, and they talked about what the doctor was saying, things that they saw in the operating room on the wall, for example, that they didn't see when they were wheeled in there under anesthesia, and it was remarkable, and that convinced a lot of people in England that this is indeed happening.
Oh, absolutely. There's doctors more and more. I have received I would say at least 50 letters, even from doctors over the years, because I've been exploring this for many, many years now. And even they have written to me and attended workshops and amazed at some of the results that they've heard from patients that describe, in an operation, they'll describe the operation in detail, what was said, what was done. Matter of fact, one comment about one of the doctors or one of the nurses comment about the patient being fat, and when the person come out, yeah, and she was above her body watching everything, and she was quite offended by it all.
She came
and
back.
She was totally out. This was a major operation, but she watched it from above, looking down at the doctors performing this operation. And when she come to after the operation, boy, did she lay into the nurse or the doctor about, how dare you call me fat?
I love it. I love it. And probably for a moment, the doctors are saying, maybe she wasn't knocked out enough.
Yeah, well, that's probably.
That's funny.
But, the real power of this, George, though, is that people have an opportunity to finally prove to themselves their own immortality. They have an opportunity to explore, let's just say, their own, call it soul or their, however, consciousness, and prove to themselves that they continue beyond death, and even way more beyond that. They can find out some of the answers to their existence, like where did we come from? Where are we gone? What's my purpose here? A lot of people relate profound experiences during OBEs.
Do you believe the OBE is the exact same thing that occurs when a person physically dies? When that soul leaves the body, it's the same as an OBE? Maybe a different plane, different dimension, but it's the same technique?
I think it's the same process. It's a separation of consciousness from the body is what an OBE is, and that's what happens at death. Now, of course, at death, it's a permanent leaving, let's say, but it's the same process. It's literally a separation of consciousness from the body. That's one of the advantages of knowing about this topic, so that you're more prepared. I write about this in Secret of the Soul, about how the Buddhists prepared people for death by training them on what happens during the separation process. That's what the whole Book of the Dead is about. People were much more in tune with the reality. Instead of being afraid of this process, this natural process, they actually were more informed about it. And that's the way that we should become more and more empowered by this natural process of separation. Because it's going to happen anyway. Most people will sometime in their life have an out-of-body experience.
If they are having this experience, William, and they're on these different planes and these different levels, is it dangerous for them? Is it possible that these entities that are on the outside can possess the body while the actual astral body is out?
Well, then why don't they do it when we're asleep? I mean, I've heard this before on many occasions, and I feel strongly that we are protected in much more than we're aware of. Number one, we're each connected by our silver cord, But right. we're also protected by a guide or guides. And I don't feel, I have never felt threatened. I mean, I must admit I've had times where I was shocked and surprised by events that happened because I was uneducated about what to expect. And it took me my God, 3 decades of experience to start to get a handle on some of this stuff. But I'm telling you that we're much safer than many people feel. Now, if you are fear-based, now this is one thing I have found from my study. If you have bought into this concept that there's demons running loose everywhere and they're about to pounce on you, you are not the person to explore self-initiated OBEs.
Why? Do you create it?
Because you will manifest it. You remember, it's your own fears being manifested. And this is very powerful because that's exactly what happens to people. Because people are afraid of the unknown. And once that's, and certain people will absolutely create their own fears and manifest them before them in whatever form that they feel. Same, this also applies to alien abduction phenomena. If we live in a culture absolutely saturated with alien abduction and okay. aliens and this and that, and there are all kinds of them out there, don't you think that has an impact on your subconscious mind when you go into an altered state and leave your body?
No question about it.
It certainly would. It would affect the way that you view reality because everyone is looking through rose-colored glasses of your mind. So that's why it's good to get accurate information about this topic and other topics.
Okay, so but in the 34 years that you've had OBEs, and I have to imagine it's the hundreds if not the thousands, have you ever had any entities or that feeling that entities were trying to grab you or anything as you were going through these different levels?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I absolutely have. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But I also feel that on most occasions it was my own fear I had to fight. I once confronted a giant sloth in one of my experiences.
Okay, so what about this? That these entities are real, these entities are there, but as long as you don't demonstrate fear or whatever this negativity might be, you're okay.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, you do more than that. You become proactive. You send, and I know this sounds a little bit simplistic, but you send positive energy towards that negative energy. You send, and I hate to use the word love, but it works.
It's positive.
It's positive energy. It's a matter of positive energy dissipating a negative formation of energy. And it's all energy we're talking about here. It's not about demons or aliens. It's energy that's manifesting to fit your, let's say, mental mold that you have created. And that's exactly the way the universe works. Remember, we're dealing with a substructure of matter, the energy substructure. That's what makes it so fascinating. And we are molding that substructure. Now, I'm not saying there isn't consensus realities. I don't want to confuse anyone here because I write extensively about consensus realities and non-consensus realities. In other words, energy dimensions that we can form and shape and others that we do not. But most of the time, people will experience their own energies.
Well,
just
you know,
like we do in the physical world.
The negative energy that some people give off then is got to be so devastating, so disruptive to whatever is happening to them that they have to learn how to send out this positive energy or they could be doomed.
Well, not doomed, but they certainly are. Just like in the physical world, we create our own drama. We create our own we create our own lessons in the physical world. We do the same when we're out of body. And that's what many people don't seem to get. They don't understand that they are the creators of their life. They create their reality with the power of their thoughts. Now, granted, in the physical world, it may take 20 years to manifest. But in the astral world, it's instantaneous. And that's what people have a difficult time understanding because they're not used to seeing their own creative power manifesting before them. Because we're dealing with a much subtler form of energy, and thoughts are very powerful. Thoughts create everything around us. It just takes longer in matter to manifest.
What was the old show once that I saw where As a matter of fact, it was another Twilight Zone. It was a little boy who wished kids into the cornfields. I think Billy Mummy played it. That's his pronunciation. I used to pronounce his name Mummy, but I've been told he, M-U-M-Y, it's pronounced Mummy. But he would, through his thoughts, think evil things, and things like that would happen to people. I've always wondered, William, that if people had an ability, just through their thoughts, of making things happen, how difficult would it be to control those thoughts? Because I think everybody, in at least once in their life, has been so angry at someone, they've thought to themselves, God, I'm going to kill you, or something bizarre. They never would do it, and they don't mean it. But if your thoughts could do it, I think a lot of bad things could happen on this planet.
Well, a lot of bad things do happen on this planet, specifically because of that. Remember, we are creating, we are projecting our consciousness out there as an individual and as a nation. And these thoughts definitely have an impact and come back to us in kind. I really feel strongly that, because I've seen this. For instance, one time I've left my body. Matter of fact, on a couple times, I've actually seen my future being created on the astral plane. I have seen things that I, at the time, I didn't understand. It only until later I realized, and then they manifested in my physical life. And this is what the psychic phenomena is. Psychics, they're tapping in to that energy field. They're not necessarily leaving their body and seeing it, but they are feeling it or sensing it. Same thing. We are creating our reality on the astral plane right this second by the way that we focus our thought energy. And this eventually, with enough focused thought is upon the astral or this energy, it eventually will manifest in the physical world.
How does that affect it if you're not feeling well, or you know, you're sick, you've got an illness or disease?
You know, surprisingly, I'm glad you brought that up. Many people, including myself, have actually more experiences when they're sick. It's not the negative in this kind of, as you would imagine. Many people actually have increased activity or out-of-body experiences during times of illness. And as many, I don't know exactly why.
Well, you know, you're right. When I was 11 years old, and the only OBE I've ever had, I stayed home from school because I was sick. I had a fever, and that's when it happened. That's the only time it's ever happened.
Well, there is a correlation there, and it's a strong correlation. I have received just incredible amount of stories related to similar stories. In other words, people would it doesn't have to be a serious illness. It may just be strep throat or something like that, and suddenly they have an out-of-body experience. You know what's remarkable, George, is that lately, and I go into this in workshops, people actually have written to me that they've healed themselves and others while out-of-body by projecting healing energy.
I believe that.
And because remember, it's all energy. The physical is just the outer result of energy. So imagine if you could go to the source of the illness and modify that energy. This is exactly what shamans have been doing for 5,000 years. They go to the source, the energy source, that's causing the physical disability or illness, and they readjust it energetically, and then a healing suddenly manifests. They still, today, I've been to Peru and actually participated in many of these healing ceremonies where this is actually done. It's remarkable. And these shamans have been going out of body for thousands of years and practicing this. And to them, it's part of their culture. It's just the norm.
When you're having OBEs, do you sometimes come across, have you ever come across people that you've loved who have departed?
Yes, on many, many occasions. And it's quite normal, by the way. The most common person that I have run into over the years is my mother, who passed away approximately 19 years ago. She, her and I have had multiple, many, many contacts together, which are fascinating. And also, I've met my uncle. I've met a dog that had died, who was still on the astral plane, and of course, very attached to, still very close to me, which, by the way, people report this very commonly. Their pets will be, cats, dogs will be hanging around them.
So that does happen.
Yes, indeed. They don't leave. Because remember, they're on another plane of existence, but so are you. let's just use a cat as an example. The cat who died is still hanging around its master, its friend. But they're still looking at you on the astral plane. They're still interacting with you on the astral plane. You may not be aware of it physically unless you have some, let's just say you're open or a little bit psychic and you start to feel the animal's presence. But I've heard, oh my God, so many stories about people having their pets are jumping on the bed.
They see cat prints but no cat.
Right, or dog prints and no dog. This is so common, it's unbelievable. You know, books could be written about it. It's almost, you know, common phenomena.
When I open up the phones, because you've done research with 16,000 people already, anything specific you'd like callers to call you about when we get to that? And not next hour, but the hour after that?
Well, I'd like for people that are interested to go to the my website and participate in the survey. It only takes a few minutes. Number one is outofbody.com, and actually do the survey. That would help.
Astralinfo.org
or outofbody.com, and it's on. It's, of course, it's posted on Coast to Coast.
Right, absolutely. Okay, that's good. And because I know a lot of people will be sharing some animal stories with you and everyone else. These dearly departed loved one stories, though, just amazing stories of how they're there to help you. And a lot of this, because almost dying and OBEs are very similar, it seems that these loved ones try to get their friends back and the people they care about, the ones who've departed, back into their body. It's almost like they always tell them, your time's not up yet. Go back.
Well, sometimes that happens, but it's also very common that people do contact. For instance, my mother contacted me the day of her death and then 3 days after her death during an out-of-body experience. I mean, it was, and this is very common, by the way. According to research done by Raymond Moody, I think it was 72% of people have some kind of contact with a loved one who has passed on within the first week. It's amazing, and that's the same. I have evidence that supports that. Same people are having these contact experiences. You may hear a voice. It may not be. You may not think of this as an OBE, but it is, because you hear a voice. But you're hearing the voice necessarily not physically. You're laying in bed. You may be unable to move, and you can see through your closed eyelids. This is all part of an OBE, but people don't relate to it yet because they don't have enough knowledge about the topic.
Stay with us, William. We'll be back in just a moment. Still a few more hours to go on Coast to Coast AM.
Subscribe to After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505.